The Lord God's will is, as we will see, for us to rejoice. To rejoice in the midst of difficulties, to rejoice in the midst of suffering, to rejoice in the midst of trials because of what He is doing and what it will do to glorify Him. And that's what we're going to see today, how we can have joy in the midst of suffering.
Welcome to this Friday edition of Equipping the Saints with Greg Lundstedt, pastor of Equipping Bible Church in Greer, South Carolina. And Greg, the passage we're considering is familiar to many of us.
You're right, Dave. And in fact, many Christians can probably quote the Apostle Paul, "For me to live is Christ and to die is gain." But I fear that only a few truly understand the meaning of that statement. So what does it mean? Let's turn in our Bibles to Philippians chapter 1, and we're going to be looking at verses 21 through 26.
Well, thanks, Greg. Now, if you want to listen to today's broadcast again, just download our new free app from the Apple App Store. You'll find today's broadcast, archived broadcasts, as well as more about this ministry and our teacher, Pastor Greg Lundstedt. Now, let's join Greg for today's message.
Well, I'm sure you'll all acknowledge and admit that when we go through difficulties and trials and suffering, it's not very fun. By nature, suffering is suffering, isn't it? By nature, trials are trials, and by nature, difficulty is difficulty. And when we go through those things, it is tempting to become discouraged. It is tempting to lose heart in the midst of those difficulties. It's tempting not to be joyful. We know the commands in the book of Philippians, rejoice always, and again I will say rejoice, but sometimes we have a hard time rejoicing. Now as we go through these trials, I believe the Lord God's will is, as we will see, for us to rejoice. To rejoice in the midst of difficulties, to rejoice in the midst of suffering, to rejoice in the midst of trials, because of what He is doing and what it will do to glorify Him. And that's what we're going to see today, how we can have joy in the midst of suffering. We're going to finish what we began last week, where we're going to see the Apostle Paul's righteous and godly, inspired perspective on life and death. So would you turn with me in your Bibles to Philippians chapter 1, and we're going to be looking at verses 21 to 26. Now, you'll remember that Acts 16 describes the founding of the church at Philippi in 52 AD, 20 years after the day of Pentecost. And we know that the Apostle Paul received his marching orders by the Spirit of God to go to Macedonia through a vision, and he left with his companions to Europe, crossing the Aegean Sea to Philippi to preach the gospel. And we know he preached the gospel to the women down at the river, and Lydia and her household came to faith. And we know that he was thrown wrongly, him and Silas, into prison and beaten. And even in prison beaten, they were singing praises to God and hymns. And the prisoners were listening. And the Lord God caused a great earthquake, as we see in Acts 16. And all the shackles and the doors were opened. And the jailer thought they've escaped, so he was going to kill himself. And Paul said, "Stop, we're all here." And within that, the jailer, who must have heard the truth about salvation because they were pagans, had heard it from Paul and Silas, said, "What must I do to be saved?" And the Apostle Paul declared, "Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved." And him and Silas shared the word with the jailer and his household, and they were saved. The tremendous nucleus of the Philippian church. Now, about 10 years has gone by, and the Apostle Paul is under house arrest in Rome. He is under arrest for the gospel. And he is about to be presented possibly at this point before Caesar. He thinks that that's imminent. And as we'll see later on, that his life is possibly going to be taken, or he may live. He's not fully sure, but we'll see. He has an idea in the Lord what the Lord is going to do. This is one of the four prison epistles, Colossians, Philippians, Ephesians, Philemon. It most likely, as I shared, written about 10 years after the founding of the church in 52 AD, so around 62. And we know from this letter and from other portions that the Apostle Paul was very close to the Philippians. We know that the Philippians had sent Epaphroditus to him. That's a long way from Philippi to Rome, to minister to him and to give him a message, to send a message to him. And he had gotten sick. We'll see that later on in chapter 2. And they were very concerned about him. But that arose initially from their concern about the Apostle Paul. They loved the Apostle Paul. They were the only church that had supported him at times. And so there was a very close relationship with the Philippian church. And now at this point, we come to the letter in which the Apostle Paul in the beginning encourages these Philippians. He reminds them that when he is thinking about them, he is caused to rejoice concerning them. He is thankful for God's past work in them, and he is confident that God will complete the work until the day of Christ Jesus. And then the Apostle Paul prayed for these Philippians. He prayed for them that their love in Christ would abound in true knowledge and all discernment, so that they would be able to, by the Spirit of God, make right choices, approve the things that are excellent, approve the differing things, demonstrate in that sense, which will ultimately glorify God. And then in chapter 1, we saw the beginning of Paul's correspondence with the Philippians, these dear believers. And you'll remember he started to share his terrible circumstances of imprisonment. But in the context of God's glorious plan, that in spite of the imprisonment, God had used his imprisonment to spread his word. That the gospel was not imprisoned, but God was using it. And Paul rejoiced that this imprisonment brought about this spreading of the gospel, even to those of Caesar's household. And that there were other believers who were emboldened to speak the word fearlessly because of what had happened to the Apostle Paul. And then last week we began to see how we can remain joyful in the midst of suffering. And we saw specifically that God uses trials to magnify Jesus, to magnify Christ. And if you desire Christ to be magnified, then when he is magnified through your trials, you're going to rejoice, because that's what you get joy in. So with this in mind, how can we have joy in the midst of suffering? Again, turn to Philippians chapter 1. We're going to be looking at verses 21 to 26. I'm going to read those first, and we're going to go back and see what precedes it. Philippians 1, 21. For to me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. But if I am to live on in the flesh, this will mean fruitful labor for me, and I do not know which to choose. But I am hard-pressed from both directions, having the desire to depart and be with Christ, for that is very much better. Yet to remain on in the flesh is more necessary for your sake. And convinced of this, I know that I shall remain and continue with you all for your progress and joy in the faith, so that your proud confidence in me may abound in Christ Jesus through my coming to you again. So we need to recognize, again, if we are true believers, we're going to suffer for Jesus at times. And it's going to be difficult. But I believe we're going to see here today that we can rejoice in the context of what God has done. We can rejoice. And you might remember we saw a few weeks ago that Paul recognized his terrible circumstances were part of God's grand plan, and the gospel went out, and he praised God and rejoiced in that. Look back in verse 12. Now I want you to know, my brethren, that my circumstances have turned out for the greater progress, the pioneer progress of the gospel, so that my imprisonment or my chains or bonds for the cause of Christ has become well known throughout the whole Praetorian Guard, that's Caesar's guard, his elite troops, and to everyone else. And that most of the brethren trusting or having confidence, as we saw in the Lord, because of my imprisonment, have far more courage to speak the word of God without fear, or literally fearlessly. Some, to be sure, are preaching Christ even from envy and strife, and some also from goodwill. The latter do it out of love, knowing I'm appointed for the defense of the gospel. The former proclaim Christ out of selfish ambition rather than from pure motives, thinking to cause me distress in my imprisonment. What then? Only that in every way, whether in pretense or truth, Christ is proclaimed. And he says, and in this I rejoice, and I will rejoice. You see, when God uses trials and difficulties to bring about the proclamation of Jesus, that should give us joy. When the very thing that we think is a bad thing, God uses as a good thing to open the door for the gospel, why we have hope, why we are different in the midst of this, that's a wonderful thing that we can praise and rejoice in. And then last week, you'll remember we saw we will experience joy when it is our heart's desire, not talking about the inside, our heart's desire for Christ to be magnified. Indeed, remember, we saw that Paul rejoiced that he knew God would answer prayers and empower him to speak of Jesus, thus magnifying Christ whether he lives or dies. This is what we looked at last week. Look at verse 19. For I know that this shall turn out for my deliverance through your prayers and the provision of the Spirit of Jesus Christ, according to my earnest expectation and hope that I shall not be put to shame in anything, but that with all boldness Christ shall even now, as always, be exalted in my body, whether by life or by death. You remember we saw last week, Paul is explaining, he is giving another reason why he can rejoice in the midst of terrible physical circumstances, being imprisoned and chained to a Roman guard 24/7. And there are things that God has allowed you to be imprisoned to, and you can have the right attitude or the wrong attitude. We can have the right attitude or the wrong attitude. Paul had the right attitude because he knew that God would turn this out for his deliverance. He says here, this deliverance spoke of Paul's vindication, as we see, as he quotes Job chapter 13, verse 16. We saw that last week. Most likely there were those who were saying Paul's in prison because he had sinned. Well, the reality is Paul wasn't in prison because he had sinned. He was in prison for the gospel. And he says, I know this shall turn out for my deliverance or vindication, we saw, through what? Your prayers and the provision of the Spirit of Jesus Christ. God delivers, God vindicates, God empowers us to do what he wants us to do in answer to prayer by the power of his Spirit. He knew the Philippians were praying for him, and he knew that he would not be in any way put to shame. Notice what he says in verse 20. According to my earnest expectation and hope that I shall not be put to shame in anything. But in contrast, that with all boldness, so that term boldness means freeness of speech, Christ shall even now, as always, be exalted, megaluno, magnified in my body, whether by life or death. Even now, as always, exalted. We should be able to say that in our lives. And if we can't, we should want to say that. Even now, as always, Christ magnified in my life. Do you seek to magnify Christ in your life? Do you seek to have him exalted? Do you seek for him to be exalted? The Apostle Paul was about to go before Caesar. He's about to go before him. And he knew that he may live or die. And he knew that through the answered prayers of the Philippians and the power of the Spirit of God, that he would be able to speak boldly and not be ashamed and not be put to shame. Thus, that Christ would be exalted and magnified. And folks, when Christ is exalted, he is shown to be who he is. He is shown to be who he is. He is seen rightfully in his glorious magnificence. His magnificence is revealed, it becomes evident, and Paul expects and hopes that Christ will be magnified and his greatness will be revealed, whether he is released or executed, whether by life or by death. Paul understood as he abided in Christ, empowered by the Spirit, through answered prayer, that the result would be Christ would be magnified. And as you are in your difficulties, we can know that by answered prayer through the power of God's Spirit, that when he calls upon us to share Christ, that he will enable us to speak boldly, that Christ would be magnified, even now as always. Folks, for some of you, Christ is not magnified at all in your lives. He's not magnified in your heart. And the world right now thinks very little of Christ. He is irrelevant. His glorious work on the cross that brought forgiveness of sins is irrelevant to them. He is not magnified in their view. But as we have seen, God uses suffering, more specifically, Spirit-empowered answers to prayer to empower his people, his children, to with boldness to proclaim him in the midst of those difficulties. Why do we have hope in the midst of those things? It's because of Jesus Christ. Our hope is not in this world. It is not in this life. You see, believers, if you're caught up in the troubles of this life, you are caught up. The troubles of this life are venues for Christ to be magnified, and we have to renew our minds in this. It doesn't mean we don't cast our cares upon him. It doesn't mean we don't have the temptation to be anxious, but we cast those things on him. We pray. We desire him to be glorified, him to be magnified. And if this is not the case with you, the wonderful thing is that you can just confess You can acknowledge fully what God says about it. It's wrong. Confess it and be forgiven. And turn and desire in your heart of hearts to have Christ magnified. Let me ask you this. In the things you're going through, is your ultimate desire that Jesus is exalted in it? That Jesus is magnified? The ultimate goal in what I am going through right now, is it that Jesus is exalted? If it isn't, you're not going to be joyful. You're not going to be joyful because joy comes when Christ is magnified, when Christ is exalted, when Christ is glorified. So what we see here, the Apostle Paul could say, even now, as always, be exalted, Christ be exalted in my body, whether by life or by death. Whatever happens, I live or die, that Christ would be magnified. Doesn't this change our view of our problems? Doesn't it change our view of our difficulties? And we are so tempted to see our trials so large, and they are large, but they're not large in light of what God wants to do. He's a gracious, good, merciful God who will give you the strength to endure, to make it through, but also that within that, He would be magnified and glorified. So often in Christians' lives, I don't see Christ magnified. At times in my life, I don't see Him magnified. We fail. We fail where He is not the desire of our heart to be exalted in these things. But that's what He'll do if we're willing to see it rightly. We're willing to trust Him. And Paul is a perfect example of this for us, an inspired example. So with that in mind, how can we experience joy in the midst of suffering? First of all, as we saw last week, we need to have a mindset and a desire for Christ to be magnified, to be exalted in everything, to be seen for who He really is in everything. And that starts with seeing Him for who He really is in your own life first, and then magnifying Him. And then we get to our passage here where we saw in verse 21 an explanation for, to me, to live is Christ and to die is gain. Again, many Christians have this as their life verse, and this is a good verse, but I believe many of the same may not have ever understood this verse in its context. And that's what we're seeing right now. The Apostle Paul is explaining here. He's explaining a summary of his life's perspective. He's saying, this is what in me is really going on. And folks, we will experience joy when we have the same perspective, when we have a yielded heart to Christ, when our heart is yielded no matter what might happen. And for Paul here, these are the two extreme possibilities, life or death, by the way. Whether in life or death. It can't get any worse, physically speaking, than death, right? That's the worst it can get. And we see that he has a yielded heart. He understood his reason for living was to serve Christ, as we're going to see. And if he died, that he would be with Him. To serve Him is needed. To be with Him is much better, as we're going to see. Again, verse 21, for to me to live is Christ and to die is gain. He's explaining the four, explaining how whether by life or death, Christ will be exalted in Paul's body. As he declares with boldness, empowered by the Spirit through answered prayer, the Lord Jesus Christ. Whatever the circumstances, and you see now what is going on in the heart of the Apostle Paul. For to me, and we looked at this last week, for to me, you could literally translate it this way, for to me, to be living, present tense, to be living Christ. To die, point in time, gain. We're going to see the Apostle Paul's yielded. He wants Christ to be magnified whether he lives or dies, and this is the mindset underneath that. If you don't have this mindset, then you're not going to want Christ to be magnified. You're going to want to maybe deal with your circumstances, whatever it might be. But for Paul, for to me, to be living Christ, to die is gain. The reason Paul was alive and the motivation for all he does in life was simply one thing, Christ. And we're going to see in a moment what that means. It's not simply just good feelings about Jesus. To me, it's just to think about Jesus and good feelings. That's not what he's saying. And as I shared last week, I think by looking at the alternatives, we can gain an idea maybe of what he is saying. Think about these statements. For some, to be living is gaining wealth. For some, to be living, getting out of debt, whatever it might be. For some, to be living, seeking pleasure. For some to live, it is sports or whatever it might be. For some to live is fame or recognition. That's what they live for. For some to live, it's work. For some to live, it's power. For some to live, it's church. For some to live, it is ministry. For some to live, it is family. For some to live, it is friends. For some to live, it is fellowship. May I posit to you and share, if this is the case with you, you have idols in your heart. And that's why so few experience joy, because we live for other things. This life should be wrapped up in the person of Christ, and as we will see, to do His will. And again, this doesn't mean that we don't love church, fellowship, family, and friends. It doesn't mean we don't work or relax at times. It doesn't mean those things. What it means is that in everything we do, we're desiring Christ to be magnified, to be exalted, to live, to be alive on this earth, to breathe and have our hearts beating is Christ. That's what Paul says. Christ was the living reality for the Apostle Paul. And he did everything he did to magnify Him, and that's why he could rejoice no matter what. That's why he could say later on, rejoice in the Lord, and again I say rejoice. Because if you're living for Christ, as we're going to see, no matter what happens, you're not going to lose anything, you only gain. If you're living for Christ, you're not going to lose anything, you're only going to gain. So what do we do if we're not this way, and we're tempted to be this way at times, in and out, throughout the day? We're tempted to not think of Christ as the most important thing. We're not to think of Christ. I want to magnify You in my work, Lord God. I want You to be magnified as I work today. I want You to be magnified in my preaching. I want You to be magnified in my conversations with people. I want You to be magnified in how I raise my kids. I want You to be magnified in everything I do. I'm thinking of You as I do them. What if that's not the case? Confess. Lord, this isn't the way it is in my heart, and I confess it. Help me to see You rightly. Help me to magnify You in my heart, and thus desire for You to be magnified. We're going to see that when we get a better view of Jesus, a right view of Jesus, and a right view of ourselves, a desire to magnify Him, then we're going to see this to be living is Christ, and to die is gain. So at this point now, the Apostle Paul is going to continue to share his heart and really explain what it means to be living Christ. What does it mean in real time for the Apostle Paul? And we're going to see, first of all, his very real dilemma and also his desire. Look at verse 21. For to me to live is Christ, or to be living is Christ, and to die is gain. The context is he may die at the hands of Caesar, or he may be set free. Right? But he knows Christ will be magnified because God will answer prayers and empower him by the Spirit to speak truthfully, and he won't be ashamed to speak of Jesus. And now he gives the options. But if I am going to live on in the flesh, this will mean something. This will mean a lot of work for me. Is that what he means? Possibly. What kind of work? This will mean fruitful labor for me. And I do not know which to choose. But I am hard-pressed from both directions, having the desire to depart and be with Christ, for that is very much better. Yet to remain on in the flesh is more necessary.
If you've just tuned in, you're listening to Equipping the Saints with Greg Lundstedt. And Greg's message today is from his series in the book of Philippians. Now, you can hear today's message again by visiting our website, etsradio.org. That's etsradio.org. CDs of today's message or other messages are available at our website as well. And as a part of the ministry of Equipping the Saints, all our audio resources are available at no cost to you, thanks to the Lord's provision through the faithful support of friends of this broadcast. To order your complimentary CD, call us toll-free, 1-800-596-9144. That's 800-596-9144. If you prefer to request your complimentary CD by email, our email address is contact@etsradio.org. Greg, as we close today's broadcast, what are some of your closing thoughts for us?
Well, Dave, I hope that we've gained an increasing understanding of what it means for to me to live as Christ and to die as gain. But yet we're not done with this message yet, so be sure to tune in to Equipping the Saints as we continue to look at how we can have joy in the midst of suffering as we gain a greater picture and understanding of who our Savior is and what He has done for us.
As we close today's broadcast, it's our prayer that the Word of God has done its work in your life and that you've been challenged and encouraged to follow Christ more closely. If you'd like a complimentary CD of today's broadcast, call us toll-free at 1-800-596-9144. That's 800-596-9144. If you prefer to request your complimentary CD by email, our email address is contact@etsradio.org. Well, we hope you'll make plans to join us again on Monday, right here for another edition of Equipping the Saints. Equipping the Saints is a broadcast ministry of Equipping Bible Church.